This is Ozarks at Large. It has been just more than 30 years since I started hosting this program. And during programs in June, we're taking note of that and replaying some stories and interviews from the past 30 years. Today, we share a story about getting lost and surviving. In the summer of 1996, we traveled to Winslow to find out how a camp devoted to skills you can use in the wilderness was being taught to people of all ages. Here is a return to Ozarks at Large, circa July 1996.
A quick quiz now. You are lost in the woods with nothing but the clothes you are wearing. It could be days before you are found. What should you be most concerned about? Water, shelter, food, or fire? The correct answer is shelter.
So the first thing that you want to do is learn how to build a shelter that can hold you. And then a close second is water.
Because hypothermia sets in with less than what? 12 hours, 24 hours,
depending,
I don't
know. Conditions, you it could probably
you may not make it through the night. Water's a close second. You can't go very long at all without water. Fire is third, it's before food, because you need fire to stay warm, to prepare medicines, to cook food, to scare off predators, what have you. To fire harden sticks, to make tools, the list goes on.
Yeah, see,
food is last, which everybody thinks is first, because, you know, they get out there and their stomach kind of takes over their mind.
Kurt Richardson and Larry Buell are the teachers at the Barking Fox Day Camp in Winslow. How to secure all of these needs is part of the curriculum at the camp located on Buell's 4 acres just off Highway 71. Buell launched the camp this summer with Kurt Richardson of Fayetteville. The first camps have been targeted at children, but classes later this month are aimed at adults. Survival skills are not the only lessons taught. During the 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. day camp, there are sessions devoted to tracking, conservation, and perhaps most importantly, nature awareness. Kurt Richardson says an increased nature awareness begins when the students remove their shoes.
With our shoes, we're stomping around with our heels. We run into corners. We're not aware of where we're walking, how we're feeling. We just become zoned out and in a rut. And when we take off our shoes, we got to be careful and feel where we walk. And you notice, like, when you walk on the stones, you have to walk front on that. Your natural tendency is to walk on the outside on your front and then roll on the inside, because you got to feel where you're walking. So we explain that to them, and then we teach them how to fox walk.
The slower walking with bare feet is part of the first lesson, a dip into Native American philosophy of working with the earth instead of against the earth. The first hour of the day is spent inside a small building with a cement floor, easier for tender feet to learn the fox walk. But the feet remain bare even when hiking through the woods behind Larry Buell's house. Buell says the message of becoming closer to nature has found an understanding audience so far with the children's classes.
They're all in tune with that. They realize that, you know, you used to could just go out and eat raw meat or drink out of a river or a creek or no problem. Now you're going to get Giardia or worse. But there's ways around that, and that's what we're teaching them. You know, there's ways to distill the water. Okay, this is a hole that is 2 foot deep, 3 foot across. I got a piece of plastic that's about 5 feet diameter.
We do this in the morning.
Yeah, it's the first thing we do.
Distilling water using nothing more than a thin sheet of plastic and a bowl is just one of the outdoor demonstrations. But to prepare students in the children's camp, there are first exercises to help prepare the youngsters for entering the woods. The exercises, conducted in Buell's flat front yard, are designed to hone the senses, including one exercise that sharpens the ears when the students are blindfolded.
I have one rattle that is, we call the cricket. The other rattle is a little bit deeper, real subtle difference, and that's the bullfrog. So we're going frog gigging. You want some frog legs tonight, but if you get the wrong one, you're going to end up eating bugs. So they're blindfolded. Kurt has one rattle, I have the other one, and we're just walking around different places, you know. And if they're good, a lot of them can distinguish, and you'll make that sound, and they won't follow it. That's the cricket. Then I'll be over here, and I'll do that, and they'll come right for it.
Other exercises help students widen their vision. All of this, the slower walking, the keener eyes and ears, are intended to make the going slower in the woods, to increase patience.
It's the Garden of Eden. We're teaching them how to live comfortably in the Garden of Eden.
classes in tracking animals close out the first half of the camp. After a 45-minute lunch, it's off to the woods behind Buell's house. Instructor Kurt Richardson.
It's good to get down and get dirty and crawl through the briars.
Then we start hiking back this way.
Though just some 40 yards from busy Highway 71, big trucks rumbling by is a steady source of sound, the area is rich in diversity. The West Fork of the White River flows by. There are spring-fed creeks, beaver ponds, and a menagerie of wildlife.
There's a kingfisher. Coon's been feeding down here. See the crawdad arm down in there?
You see, that's something I probably would not have seen if I had just come down here, but it's there in the open. I mean, fairly much.
Something tore that off that crawdad. I mean, it's not, they just don't fall off. And I just assume it was a coon because that's their, one of their favorite foods. You know?
Most people, when they go hiking, just look at the scenery and look out into the mountains or look at the water. You kind of look past that and into the details of what's going on. And you're forced to do that when you go barefoot because you're forced to go slower. You're forced to feel your ground.
So we take them up the river a little bit. There's some good mud spots down here.
Maybe some deer tracks or coon tracks. Yeah, it's different every time we go. You never know what you're going to see. There's like some little muddy places, like right over in here. I scope out all those, you know, if I see a track or two. I see we saw some frog tracks somewhere. What was that? It was right over here, I think, yesterday.
Buell, a thin, fit man with his brown but graying hair tied into a ponytail, is doing what he has always wanted to do, get closer to nature. He grew up in Carroll County and moved to Winslow after graduating from the University of Central Arkansas with a biology major in the early 1980s. He learned many of his skills during an intense 18-hour-a-day, week-long camp in New Jersey. His instructor there learned his skills directly from legendary Native American tracker, Stalking Wolf. And though Larry says he has not learned nearly everything he wants to, on this summer day, he is an impressive guide along the banks of the White River. By kneeling close to some deer tracks, he can tell the animal's gender, whether it was running or walking, even if the animal is right or left dominant, what we call right or left-handed in humans. Buell says reading the tracks and the many other clues left by wildlife is like reading a book, and the manuscript changes daily.
And it's like fingerprints. There's no two animals alike. So you can tell if there's one or two deer here or however many.
See, like this one's spread apart, so he's walking a little faster as compared to this one.
If I wanted to track one deer and he's mixed in with 10 others, that's how I would single him out and follow that one trail. I'd have to take measurements, and you don't have to have a measure. You can use a stick and make marks. Like if I had a long stick, I'd make a mark there. You measure from the toe to the toe of the next track.
The afternoon hike includes that most important of the survival techniques, making shelter. Students create a debris hut fashioned from nothing but sticks, mud, and leaves. While the hut is not, say, a suite at the Hilton, it can save your life and keep a person warm in temperatures below zero. Kerr Richardson says the fact that the hut can be made from just what is found on the forest floor is not lost on him, and it is not lost on the students.
Whatever you can bring into nature in my backpack, like I used to, whatever I can bring in is out here in the first place.
You can make it yourself.
You can make rope. We kind of teach them how to make rope, how to cordage.
Survival in the first couple of nights is not necessarily comfortable, but you won't die.
Richardson, thin with short black hair, graduated with a marketing degree this year from the University of Arkansas. He grew up in Dallas and says he has always liked to camp. He says he used to take everything from the city with him to the woods. Now, he says, he takes very little in. The day camp packs quite a bit into the 8 or 9 hours, and Buell and Richardson say they are only beginning to share the possibilities of nature. Adult classes and more advanced overnight camps are scheduled for the near future. The adult classes may include more on edible plants, something Buell says he doesn't concentrate on with the children since there are also many dangerous look-alike plants in the forest. Both men say the experience gained in the relatively few hours of the camp can be used by children or adults.
On nature, whether you want to be or not, even if you're closed up in your house and eating out of the grocery store or whatever, you know, it's you're being far removed from nature, but yet you're dependent on it. You know, if we screw it up to where environmentally this earth's not fit to live on, we're all going to die. All the animals, all the plants, all the people. We're heading that direction, believe it or not, you know. Some people are optimistic and choose not to believe that. And I'm optimistic and think it can all be turned around, but I see that we're heading to that.
So many people during their vacations run out to the woods, run out to the wilderness, try to refresh themselves, but they don't get their complete refreshment because they bring in what they know in society and bring it out to the woods. They drink beer and then they do that. You know, they're partying, have the loud music. They're oblivious to what's around them. And these things were teaching you to be more aware. Open your mind, open your eyes, open all your senses. More stories come and reveal themselves to you.
That story from Winslow first aired on Ozarks at Large in July 1996. We're listening to some stories and interviews this month from my 30 years hosting Ozarks at Large, and we'll hear more from the past three decades from the many different reporters, producers, and voices we've heard on the show since 1990. That's coming up in the days and weeks ahead. This, by the way, is a 2020 edition of Ozarks at Large.